If you saw a variety of photos from Summerfest this year, that's because we've got the best interns in the biz. I'm Katie O'Connell, and for this week's Behind the Headlines, we're taking a look back at some of the work done by our interns during the summer. Up first, we have Kara Lombardo. Kara was our Sharon Stark investigative reporter over the course of the summer. Kara looked into the death of a man in a Milwaukee County jail. Here's intern Sarah Hauer's chat with Kara.
So I'm intern Sarah Hauer here with my fellow intern, Kara Lombardo. She is a graduate student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and spending her summer on the investigative team at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Hi, Kara.
Hi.
So today we're going to talk to Kara about one of the bigger stories she did this summer. Kara, can you tell us a little bit about the story?
Sure. Well, back in April, someone named Terrell Thomas was arrested at the Pottawatomie Casino. He had opened fire in the high rollers area, and he was booked into the Milwaukee County Jail. Nobody thought much of it at the time. He had been obviously struggling with some mental issues and was a bit erratic for the days leading up to that. But then there was a report that he was found dead in his jail cell 9 days later. So we actually ended up hearing from his cousin. The family was having trouble getting answers about how he died, and they asked us to look into it. So that's how this story started.
So how did the cousin reach out to the Journal Sentinel, and how did you first make contact?
She actually contacted the watchdog team directly because she had seen some of our previous coverage with in-custody deaths. Our reporter, Gina Barton, has done a lot of that in the past, and so she had always connected the Journal Sentinel to those types of deaths and knew to contact us.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. And how did it land in your lap?
Well, when I arrived on day one in the summer, I got a pile of different tips, and her email was one of them, so I ended up emailing her back, and we didn't hear from her for a few days, but we kept trying, and we eventually got in touch with her, and I went over and spoke to his cousin and his parents at their house on the north side, and that's sort of where the story started.
After you first made contact, what other steps did you take in reporting? How did you start to dig into this, and what did you find?
Yes, so first of all, I requested every report from both the sheriff's office, which oversees the county jail, and also the police department, because whenever someone dies in custody, they're required to have an outside agency do an investigation. So the Milwaukee Police Department was in charge of that investigation. Obviously, we haven't yet been able to get those reports because the investigation is still ongoing, but I did request those right away, and I've been in contact with the medical examiner who's in the process of performing the autopsy. Then when I spoke to Terrell Thomas's family, they mentioned that they had heard there were some other inmates who had witnessed his death and had been in the same unit as him and would be willing to speak to me. So a lot of my time was spent trying to track down those inmates. The families didn't readily have the names at first, so I had to keep checking in with them, and they would check in with acquaintances, and eventually they led me to Marcus Berry, who was one of the inmates that I interviewed for the article, who had spent the entire duration of Terrell Thomas's stay in the segregation unit in the county jail, sort of kitty corner from Terrell Thomas's cell. So he had witnessed Terrell Thomas's erratic behavior. Marcus Berry claimed that they had turned off Terrell Thomas's water at one point because he was acting so erratically. And so Marcus Berry actually had been eager to share what he had seen, and so he was pleased when I arrived there to speak to him.
When you go to meet with the family, was that an experience that you had had before to speak with people who had lost a loved one in a very unusual or unexpected way?
No, it was completely new to me, and I was really honored that the Journal Sentinel empowers the interns to do something like that. I sat down beforehand with some of the veteran reporters, and they spoke to me about how I should approach it, what I should expect, and that really helped. When I went over there, I started out by offering my condolences, obviously, because you're a human first and then a reporter. And I think that the family, I mean, I know that it can be intimidating to be speaking to a reporter who you know is going to be publicizing information. It's not always easy, and it's not natural to have to ask people probing questions and ask them a lot of follow-up questions when they're speaking about something as horrible as their child dying. But luckily, his family really had faith and wanted... They were desperate at this point for answers, so I think they were willing to speak to me.
And so your story came out saying that, you know, they still don't have answers was basically the ending of the story and how different agencies were working on it. This one inmate hadn't even been talked to. What happened after the story ran?
So the story ran, I think, on a Monday or Tuesday. I had already scheduled another visit with the inmate, Marcus Berry, because I wanted to check in with him after the story ran to see if he heard anything after that. I went to visit him about a week after the story ran, and he said, you know, the investigators actually just came and spoke to me this morning, finally. And so they had just left about a half an hour before I arrived there, and they had finally gotten around to asking him what he had seen. In between that and when the story came out, also I got a phone call from an inmate who has since been moved to a different prison in the Wisconsin prison system, but he also had been in the county jail at the time, and he gave a similar account that Marcus Berry did. So in a follow-up article, I wrote both about how the investigation was being expanded and they were now interviewing both Marcus Berry and the other inmate that had called me, and I wrote about how the other inmate had called me in the meantime. So that's where we're at right now. I know that I'm continuing to follow up on when the reports will be available, when the police department will have finished their investigation and hopefully reached some type of conclusion. I'm still in contact with Terrell Thomas's family, but we really don't have any more information right now.
How do you think this experience will feed into other articles that you do?
With this article and with other articles, it gives the reporter a chance to really get very familiar with a certain topic area. So my experience researching in custody deaths, speaking to Gina Barton, who had done such tremendous work on this topic in the past, and familiarizing myself with the processes that these agencies follow and making connections with the agencies too, will absolutely be useful in the future.
Had you done much criminal justice style reporting before?
No, this was one of the first investigative, longer-term pieces and also the first one directly relating to criminal justice. So I feel like already I've learned so much about it that's going to be transferable.
To read Kara's story, visit jsonline.com. Shooting photos at Summerfest is no easy feat. Sometimes you have to snap a pic of bands that are playing at the same time on different parts of the ground. So how did photo intern Sam Caravana get his bearings while shooting the festival? Fellow intern Sarah Vasello found out.
So Rick Woods, on my first day, gave me a tour of the city. And during the tour, our first stop was the Summerfest grounds, and he told me, you're going to be covering Summerfest with me and Calvin, and the other photo intern, and you're going to be here basically every day for 11 days from roughly 4 o'clock to 1 to 2 in the morning. So that's kind of when I found out I was doing Summerfest, and at the time I really didn't know like what Summerfest was. I'd heard about it, but it was a really interesting experience for sure. So I was covering Summerfest. I've never shot like a professional... I've shot one concert before, a professional concert before. So it was kind of just thrown into the water. I mean, over the 11 days, I personally shot like 35 concerts. So it's a lot of music, and you really start to value your earplugs at like after the second day because it gets really loud if you're down right in front of the stage shooting it. But it was really awesome. You get you're right next to the stage. And you're not necessarily interacting with the musicians, but you're like close to close. I mean, I was chest to chest with Andrew McMahon at one point. He jumped down into the pit to see some fans, and it was very narrow, maybe 2 feet wide. And I was there taking photos, and he slipped past me, and we looked eye to eye and chest to chest. That was pretty cool. It was a pretty awesome experience. It's definitely tiring, though, because your hours are basically from 4 o'clock in the afternoon to you shoot photos, like feature photos of like people and stuff, till about 6, and then you start covering concerts to about 11, 12, and then you've got about an hour of editing and then about 30, 40 minutes to drive back. So I wouldn't get back and get to sleep till like 1:30 or 2. And you do that for about 11 days or 10 days. So it was tiring, but it was a lot of fun. Got to hear a lot of good music. Got to eat a lot of donuts and other fair food, but it was a good experience.
Definitely. And so I guess like as an intern, like in photography, what was the thing that was like either like you learned the most from or that was the coolest specifically about it?
I think the thing I learned most about the summer was to take quality images. I think that I did another internship at another newspaper, and I think I was getting my grip of how to do it. And I think this summer I was able to learn how to do it at a really high level consistently. So not necessarily just having 5 assignments in a week and having one that goes really well. You need to have all 5 go really well. And I think being around the different photographers that the staff has, including the other intern, Calvin, who just produce really strong images very consistently, I think seeing how they did it, whether it be how they set up their cameras or how they interact with subjects or how they deal with lighting and or deal with, you know, environmental things, like how do you deal with when police won't let you get past the security tape, seeing them and how they were able to consistently produce good photos, I think was probably the thing I learned most. I don't know specifically, I guess I learned that you really can do whatever you want as a photographer. People don't really tell you no. And this summer, I think I really embraced that more. I just kind of went for it and just, you know, asked for forgiveness instead of permission. And I think that was a pretty useful thing. But I also learned how to shoot concerts. I feel very comfortable shooting concerts now. Before I didn't. Now I've shot 34 concerts. I feel very comfortable shooting anybody, whether it be like Nelly or the, you know, REO Speedwagon or some folk band that, you know, has 4 followers. So
yeah, definitely. What was your favorite concert to shoot?
My favorite concert. So as a musician, as a person, my favorite was Blink-182, because I'm a big Blink-182 fan, and getting to be that close to them was pretty amazing. In terms of shooting one, my favorite was probably Jason Derulo, because he was very animated and dancing and had a lot going on. And that, as a photographer, is what you want. A lot of musicians will just stand behind a microphone. It's hard to get a photo of them without the microphone just in their face where they're not dancing. So that was really cool. And there was also Pitbull, which was actually my first concert that I shot at the main stage on the first night or second night. That was really cool because he was also very moving around, and he's also just like a, you know, big name. So I could say that I shot photos of Pitbull, and they, I think some of them ended up getting picked up on like The Wire and other newspapers and ended up using them. So that was pretty cool. But so either Pitbull or Jason Derulo as a photographer were definitely the most fun to shoot.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, sure. they were a good time.
Yeah. What were you most surprised by shooting Summerfest?
What was I most surprised by?
Yeah.
I was most surprised by how like cool some of the musicians were. A lot of the smaller acts and even some of the medium-sized acts would just be backstage hanging out, and I'd be walking back there to get a press pass for a photo shoot later that night, or to shoot the concert later that night. And they'd be like, "Oh, hey man, how you doing? Having a good day?" I'd be like, "Hi, lead singer of Passion Pit. I am having a good day. Like, you are like one of my favorite bands." So just seeing how some of these cool like musicians are like really cool. And that was pretty surprising, but also how well I got to know the Summerfest grounds was pretty surprising, and how many times I had to sprint show to show was rather surprising. I thought it would only happen once or twice, but there's 2 or 3 times where I had a show on the opposite side and I was dead sprinting with 2 cameras bobbling around and looking just looking like a dingus. But getting to know the artists and getting to know a few of them, not super well, but getting to talk to them and see how cool they were was definitely a pretty awesome experience, something I didn't expect at all.
This is your last day. How do you feel overall?
Oh, I'm pretty sad to be leaving the Journal Sentinel. Even though I'm not necessarily in the newsroom that much because I'm always out and about taking photos across the state, I'm really going to miss my boss, who is Burford Gammon, who's been very cool and very nice and been teaching. And it's going to be sad to leave the newsroom in general. There's a lot of people there that were very, very welcoming and in an environment where there's a lot of change going on right now, and they're, a lot of them are very stressed about change. They've all been super welcoming, and I've past experiences in other newsrooms, it's been a lot more hostile. People look at interns as somebody that might potentially take their job, and these people were just super nice, super welcoming, always willing to help. If I had a question, they would always be there to help me, like go above and beyond. And so I'm kind of sad that I'm leaving because I really enjoyed the people and I really enjoyed Milwaukee. It's a quirky city. There's a lot of stuff that I got a photograph that was really cool. So it's kind of sad to leave, but it had to happen at some point, but hopefully I'll be back. So we'll see.
To see Sam's photos and other photos from Summerfest, visit tapmilwaukee.com. Going to the movies can cost a small fortune unless you're a member of the Marcus Theater's loyalty program. The Milwaukee-based Marcus Corporation has found a lot of success with the program. Here's business intern Larissa Garza talking to Features intern Hannah Kirby about her story.
So I read a story about the Marcus Corporation's theater loyalty program, and I was looking into it to see if it was beneficial for both the customer and the company in terms like of financial savings, in terms of all that. So by doing that, I looked at their SEC filings and at their 10-Qs, and I noticed that the program actually did really well. But since 2014, they've had 1.6 million people sign up for it, which is pretty grand in the scheme of things. And I noticed that they have a $5 Tuesday. And so you can go to the movies with the loyalty program, have a medium-sized popcorn, a medium drink, and a ticket for $9. And in comparison to any other day, it's going to be over $20 per person. So there are a lot of different benefits that people enjoyed, like you get money back after a certain amount you spent, and then you get invited to an invitation-only screenings before people, the movie even comes out.
Cool. And then how did you start reporting for this?
I actually was talking to one of my colleagues, Tom Dakin, about it, and he said that it was a really good opportunity to look into the company a little bit more. I started by looking at the SEC filings, the company's 10-Q. By looking at that, I was able to get some numbers that maybe they wouldn't have told me in the interview, and I was able to prepare a line of questioning that would be able to get backed up by it.
And how did you find your sources for the story?
I had actually done a story about Marcus Corporation a little bit earlier about their restaurant, and I was able to get in contact with them again and say, this is what I want to do. Who should I be talking to about this? And then in addition to that, I talked to a specialist in the industry that looks at different corporations, like Marcus Corporations, and asked him about the loyalty program and whether other theaters are doing that or not and whether it was a viable thing.
And then what do you think was like the most interesting thing you learned from writing this story?
Definitely that I should have been going to $5 Tuesday movies a lot sooner. I think it was a really interesting thing. I learned how to do the look into filings at school, but I never saw an opportunity to do it until now, and you learn a lot from it, so it was fun.
Awesome. And how do you start looking at those like filings and stuff like that? How do you find them?
You go, there's called an Edgar search. And just by knowing the company's name, you can click on any of their public filings so you can know how much revenue they make per quarter, how much sales in each industry. So I was looking at concessions. I was looking at ticket sales, what movies were the most popular. It was interesting.
And then today's your last day. So what did you like about working at the Journal Sentinel?
Oh, my gosh. I liked it a lot. The people are great. I learned a lot of different things. I definitely cover things that I normally wouldn't have thought to cover. A lot of different. One of my colleagues, Tom Dakin, that I sit right next to him, so he helps me out with a lot of stories. But he would write something about a company or someone buying a property, and then he'd be like, wow, this person is really interesting. Like, for example, we did a story on Ian's Pizza buying another building. And when we looked up the agent for the purchase, I was able to be like, wow, he's worked here since college, and he's worked at Ian's Pizza for 14 years, and that was really interesting to find just from a deed filing.
Awesome. And then what is, like, your one takeaway that you'll take back with you to Arizona from interning here?
I would definitely say make sure that you're making the most of, like, making the most of my time here, making those connections when you meet people, and really taking people's advice. One of the most interesting things that happened while I was here was when we were switching over to Gannett. So definitely the transition of that and being able to constantly just go with the flow and keep up with it.
And then what's next after this?
Well, I have one more semester of school. I'll graduate from ASU in December, and then I'm looking into grad school.
That story is also available at jsonline.com. We here at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel hope you've enjoyed the work our interns have done this summer, and we wish our interns well as they head back to school or out into the workforce. That's all for today's show. Thanks for listening. Once again, I'm your host, Katie O'Connell. Tune in next week as I bring you more behind-the-scenes information from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.